Award-winning journalists. New York Times bestsellers. No topic out of bounds. No opinions left unsaid. An institution for sports talk and information. This is The Sports Reporters. Here's Mike Lupica and Mitch Albom.
I'm Mitch Albom of the Detroit Free Press.
I am Mike Lupica, New York Daily News and MLB.com. Welcome to the Monday edition of the Sports Reporters podcast. Mr. Ryan has been benched again. No, he's not in the penalty box, but he will be back with us on Thursday. You know, this has turned into an amazing time for us to be able to do this podcast twice a week because now there's a lot going on. And Mitch, we start today with the Washingtons. And there is supposed to be an announcement imminent on this day that they are changing the Redskins nickname. I don't know whether they're officially going to announce the new one or not. We've heard Washington Warriors, Washington Red Wolves, something else. I suggested the Washington Albums, but somebody said it didn't work.
Yeah.
It's taken by a junior college someplace. But Mitch, Daniel Snyder, really late in the church service, has gotten religion as he got braced by Nike and Amazon and a lot of other people.
87 years, this name has been on the franchise. And, of course, that's been one of the arguments. Why not to change it? Because tradition, things have been out there so long. Mike, I predict that this is one of those things that will make massive headlines for 24 hours, something that's hugely overdue, and then will have very little effect on anything other than correcting something that should have been done a long time ago. I actually think that there were so many people in the sports world who already thought that's a ridiculous name to have for all the years that the Redskins have been called the Redskins, that to finally get rid of it is actually like, yeah, that was awful late in coming. And then they'll go on to whatever the next thing is, which only goes to prove that certain things can be lost rather quickly and nobody's going to miss them. And nobody's going to miss the fact that they're the Redskins. It's no different than, and I've said this in the past, when franchises move cities. They do that all the time and suddenly have a different name and everybody seems to accept it and no problem. Even though you've left behind a city, left behind fans, left behind workers, people have adjusted to that overnight. And yet a name, which means nothing other than the merchandising of this thing, which, by the way, is going to be a financial boon for Daniel Snyder and the team because, as I said, they could have three different jerseys. They could have Redskins, the in-between one, whatever the final one's going to be, and they're going to sell all of those because the Redskins ones will now be collector's items. That's all it makes a difference to. So it really, it's one of those things, Mike, like in life, you end up saying to yourself, what took me so long to do that? It was nowhere near the big deal that I thought it was going to be.
It was the great Jerry Seinfeld who talked about all the player movement now in sports and said, really, in the end, you're just rooting for laundry. Okay, now they're going to change the laundry. Mitch, they're cleaning the laundry. They're taking the laundry and they're putting it in the washing machine. And it not only is it going to shrink, and when it's dried, it's going to be gone. Okay, here's a statement from the Redskins. On July 3rd, we announced the commencement of a thorough review of the team's name. That review has begun in earnest. As part of this process, we want to keep our sponsors, fans, and community apprised of our thinking as we go forward. Today, we are announcing we will be retiring the Redskins' name and logo upon completion of this review. Dan Snyder and Coach Rivera are working closely to develop a new name and design approach that will enhance the standing of our proud tradition and make us a big shitload of money. No, that's not any release.
I
thought I saw that. I didn't. And inspire
an
our sponsors.
Inspire our shitload of money.
Sponsors, fans, and community for the next 100 years. Okay, so it's done. Okay, and you'd love to think that it was Snyder's best instincts that brought him to this moment. No. He got slapped around by Nike. He got slapped around by Amazon. He was getting slapped around by, you know. And by the way, Mitch, while this is all going on, the Atlanta Braves said they're not changing their nickname. But did you see this? They're going to take a look at the tomahawk chop. Okay, they're going to take a look at that, Mitch. And guess what? After they take a look at it, they're going to start throwing people out when people can go back to the stadium for doing it. And by the way, they have cover here to at least do that because there's going to be no fans in the stands this year in baseball.
You know, there's a cautionary tale here for all future sports leagues. When you're going to name your teams, stick with animals or stick with forces of nature like the wind or the gusts or the hurricanes or things like that, and stay away from people of any kind. Yeah. Because the Cleveland Indians eventually will have to change their name, and the Atlanta Braves eventually will change their name. It may not be this year, and it may not be, but they'll start to become the target of how can you do that. And you know what? Why do teams have to be named after ethnic groups? It's stupid. It was always stupid. And it's just hung around too long. Now, you made a good point, Mike, because Daniel Snyder in 2013 told a newspaper, put it in all caps, those were his words, he would never the name of the Washington Redskins. That was 7 years ago.
Yeah, right.
And now he has. And he's done it, as you pointed out, not because he's gotten religion or seen the light, but because sponsors were rattling their sabers and saying, we're not going to support you. And that's ultimately what controls the thing. But that's kind of my point, Mike. It doesn't it just gets rid of something that shouldn't have been there for a while, but it doesn't really change people's minds. Those who were already enlightened about this thought it for a long time. And you know what? They were able to survive and be enlightened and still say that should go. And those who weren't enlightened about it and didn't understand why this was offensive probably don't today. And this is part of what we're dealing with in the world right now about the symbolic natures of statues and nicknames and things like that versus the really hard work of mind changing, which just takes time. And it's not always accomplished just through symbols, but just the same, things like the Redskins, it'll need to be cleaned up. You know, they're left over from a different time. They don't match where we are here now. And they really don't cost the fans or the franchise anything. In fact, it'll bring in, as you say, a shitload of money.
So, Mitch, here's the thing. While we've been on today, I looked up Red Wolves are an actual thing. They're an actual thing. Okay, and it keeps...
There's an animal called a red wolf?
There's a red wolf. No, we're not here just to entertain. We're here to educate as well, okay? The red wolf is a canine native to the southeastern United States, which has a reddish tawny color to its fur. Morphologically, it is an intermediate between the coyote and the gray wolf and is very closely related to the eastern wolf of eastern Canada. Okay, what I'm saying is, I mean, we're having some fun here, all right? It's an actual thing. It keeps, they're desperate to keep red in the team's nickname. And, you know, Wolves is a good one. Wolves is a good, you know,
those
I don't
with
think.
The W.
And they're not going to offend, you know, maybe. Now, Mitch, you know, Red Wolves, if that's the final decision, that may offend Gray Wolves. And then we're into another political
I think they should go the Michigan route and just go Wolverines. And then you take in all baby wolves. And it also goes with Washington. Washington Wolverines. What's the matter with that?
But going back to what you said about how put it in caps, all right? What do we always joke about when things we don't think are ever going to happen? The 12th of never. Today's the 13th of July. But no, not in Washington, Mitch. Today is the 13th of never for the Washington Redskins.
Speaking of nicknames that are probably going to go, the Chiefs may end up leaving Kansas City. And in fact, I bet you could get odds in Vegas now as which will happen first, the Chiefs' name leaving the Kansas City team or Patrick Mahomes' contract running out. We're going to talk about that in a second, but first, a word from our friends at Geico. Hey friends, did you know that right now Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's 15% on top of the money Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? You want your dog to make you breakfast in bed with Belgian waffles and a fresh fruit compote? As nice as that sounds, that's probably never going to happen. But at least there's never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Visit geico.com to learn more. Well, everybody knew Patrick Mahomes was going to get a new deal. Not everybody knew that it was going to be this big. And let us caution you by saying that there is no such thing as a full-out contract in the NFL. So when you read that Patrick Mahomes signed a 10-year contract extension worth $477 million with another $26 million in potential bonuses, which just conveniently gets him over the half-billion mark, richest contract in the history of North American sports, don't think he's ever going to see the end of this contract as written. He'll probably end up making more money if he stays healthy. But just the same, this was a huge statement by Kansas City. And honestly, Mike, could you think of anybody else in football right now who would warrant that type of a contract?
No, Mitch, here's the thing. He's the biggest star now. You could talk about Brady going to Tampa. Brady's 84 years old. Patrick Mahomes is the biggest star and the biggest talent in the biggest sport right now. So it would follow that he would have the biggest contract. And Mitch, you see how the market is for quarterbacks. Adam Schefter tweeted something today that caught my attention. If Dak Prescott does not sign a long-term deal by Wednesday's deadline and goes the Kirk Cousins route, it could pay off financially. From 2016, his first season under the franchise tag, through 2020, wait for it, Mitch, Cousins will have earned more money than any player in the NFL. We're not talking about going forward now. We're talking about the last 4 years. Cousins, $137 million. Rodgers, $129 million. Wilson, $128 million. Matt Ryan, $126 million. Matthew Stafford, $125 million. What I'm saying is, you look at the names on that list, okay? Matt Ryan maybe is past his best days. Matthew Stafford, you know, you've seen him a lot more than I do. Wilson is still relatively young. Rodgers is old. Cousins is Cousins, okay?
Right.
If you're going to pay somebody, you're going to pay the kid in Kansas City whose popularity, whose talent level has pushed him. Mitch, he has shouldered his way to the front of the crowd in the National Football League. And so paying him what he got, Mitch, paying him what he got is like paying Mike Trout in baseball.
Yeah, he won't even turn 25 until the season gets going, if it gets going when it's supposed to get going.
Right.
And
right.
That is, above all else, that is what the NFL pays for, youth. You know, there's always the arguments when you become a 34-year-old quarterback as to what you're worth, because you want to get paid for what you've done for the franchise,
right.
The franchise wants to say, well, what are you going to do for us? Patrick Mahomes is in that weird, rarefied air of, you've done it for us, and we know what you're going to do for us. You've got, you know, he can only get better. He's proven, Mike, not only to be an exemplary, exceptional talent, as well as a good guy off the field for now. You know, people do change, but especially when they get $500 million. But you can only go on what he's done up till now. And, you know, it's been all good. But he's also proven some toughness. And, you know, I think in the NFL, that's a huge part of what you start paying for. Look at how many talented running backs, for example, have dropped dramatically in the draft just on the projection of whether they're injury prone and damaged goods and guys. And sometimes this has worked out. Todd Gurley, for example, you know, worked out quite well for the Rams that way because people stayed away from him because of injuries in college. But injuries make a huge difference in terms of the investment you want to make in somebody. And Mahomes has proven to be pretty tough and has come back through some tough injuries. So on top of his talent, which it's hard to imagine him getting better, but you got to think quarterbacks age better into their late 20s and early 30s than they do at 25, right?
Yeah, and Mitch, remember, he missed a couple of games last year, you know, and we weren't sure, you know, we weren't sure when he was going to get back when he first got hurt. And then, you know, we saw how the season ended, okay? He's not just the face of this team now. He's the face of the league now. And he's the charming, gifted face of this league. I told you one time, Bobby Valentine, when Mike Piazza was in his prime, said, when your best player is a good guy too, it filters down through the rest of the roster. Okay, so the Chiefs just took care of this now. And you're talking, this is something that is happening more and more. It happens more in baseball because they first hit free agency at the age of like a year older than Mahomes is now because of the way the collective bargaining agreement is. But you're not just paying this kid for what you think he's going to do. This is one of those confluence of events where you're also paying him for what he's already done. And it was the same as what the Angels did with Trout. They didn't want to hear about him ever leaving. Not that I think Mahomes was ever going to leave Kansas City. They just wanted to say, okay, we're going to do this now. It's the right thing for us in our business model and our football team model. And it's, I mean, I didn't know that it was in play. But when it happened, there are big contracts that you say, what the hell? But not this one.
You talk about what he's done. The last 2 years, which basically was when he became the starter, 76 touchdowns against 18 interceptions. He had that 50 touchdown season in 2018. He has averaged 4.5. Well, actually, over the last two seasons, he's averaged 5 yards a carry. Whenever he carries, remember, right. He can run. You know, he's elusive. And he's got a solid consistency completion rate of 66%. He threw for over 5,000 yards in 18 and over 4,000 yards in 19, despite missing a couple of games.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he's already, at least in those two seasons, and he won the Super Bowl last year and was a Super Bowl MVP. I mean, there's very little that he didn't tick off already in his young career. And Mike, he's a rare guy that he will, and I said he won't see the end of this contract, but I didn't mean that meaning he's going to retire before the contract out. I mean he's going to end up getting a couple more. He'll only be 34 when this thing runs out.
Just think of that, Mitch, what you just said. Until you said it, I didn't even think about it. Think about it. In 5 years, this contract will look outdated.
That's right. That's right. So I saw someone break this down who's very smart about it and said he'll probably get to the sixth year, and that's it. And they'll renegotiate given where he is in free agency and all the rest of that stuff. So, I mean, he's only going to make more money than that. And you know, money is crazy, and it is today what it isn't tomorrow. And but $500 million contract.
Yeah.
The only other thing you ever hear that kind of stuff for is some ridiculous European soccer type of money. And even they don't go out 10 years. That's why this is the biggest one this is American sports history. I don't know if there's one in soccer that's bigger than that for Ronaldo or Messi or something like that. But he's in that world. And now I just hope he stays healthy, because this puts a lot of pressure on you. I mean, he's the reigning Super Bowl guy, and as good a guy as he is, Mike, everybody now wants what he has.
Yep.
They want his ring and they want his money. And that means they're all gunning for him. And we're going to see how he can handle that when they come back. It'll be interesting, because he's a guy who feeds on, and this is something we haven't talked about in COVID-19, but there's an excitement factor to him. Like, when the moment gets bigger, he lives up to it. And a lot of that is with fans and excitement in the stands and stuff like that. It'll be interesting to watch Patrick Mahomes in an empty stadium working his stuff. Don't you think there are certain players that just, like, they just juice up with the noise and the moment and the fans, and that's all going
to
be absent?
Think Magic Johnson. Okay, think Magic Johnson. And that's to put a bow on this conversation, he is a football quarterback. But there's a Steph Curry quality to him that he's just expanded the possibilities of that position. And there is a magic to his game, whether he's throwing no-look passes or left-handed passes or doing what he's doing when he brings his team from behind. And it's just that rare, magical combination. Now, before we do get to a basketball conversation, and I want Mitch to pay attention, because, you know, Mitch really goes through life like in a three-piece suit. He's very dapper. He's got the thing and the handkerchief and the thing. But even he loves Cuts t-shirts the way I do. We all have a drawer full of t-shirts. I'm not sure anybody has more t-shirts than I do. It's a menswear staple, which is weird for something that has so many problems. Does yours get that bacon neck thing after a while, or does it lose its shape and give you that parachute fit? Well, you're not alone. Back in 2016, Stephen Borelli couldn't find a good t-shirt anywhere. So you know what he did? He made his own. He founded Cuts Clothing to make t-shirts with an athletic, tailored look that are high quality enough for work, a night out, or anything in between. Okay, here's the deal. I spend a stupid amount of time in my life wearing t-shirts. I'm telling you, cuts are the best. The neck never starts to droop. They never lose their shape. And my shape isn't as good as my son's shapes, so I have gotten them for them, and they look fabulous, and they last forever. Here's the test of a good t-shirt. Does it continue to look new? Cuts look new forever. They're pre-shrunk, wrinkle-free, keep their shape, and their custom-engineered Pika Pro Fabric is amazingly soft. I'm telling you, once you wear a cut shirt, it's impossible to choose a regular t-shirt ever again. That's why Cuts is the only shirt worth wearing. Loved by your favorite athletes, entrepreneurs, and even podcast hosts and their sons. It seems like everyone is wearing Cuts these days. Get 15% off your first order by going to cutsclothing.com/reporters. That's cutsclothing.com/reporters for 15% off the only shirt worth wearing or that you're ever going to need ever again. Okay. You don't even dispute that. You accepted that you go through life in a three-piece suit, don't you?
It was just not worth arguing.
I talked
to a friend of mine the other day who I haven't talked to since the start of COVID-19. I said, how are you doing? He said, I haven't worn a belt in 4 months. I said, you know what? That's right. Who puts on a belt or a tie?
So guess what?
T-shirts matter.
Guess what? I cut my own hair now, and I'm good.
You cut your own hair?
Yeah.
How is that physically possible?
I get one of those electric blade type things,
yeah.
And I just try, and Taylor trims it in the behind.
Well, what are you wearing? A buzz cut now?
No. I'll send you a picture. It's
my hair. Normal haircut, the one that I've sat and looked at for 30
better,
years.
Better.
Wow,
it's better.
And they say you can't teach an old dog.
No. Okay, Mitch, we've already had inside the bubble. Inside the bubble, our first significant injury, and it happened to Rajon Rondo of the Lakers.
Yeah. He was playing well for the Lakers when he
wasn't
left,
he calling the bubble Motel 6 or something? Wasn't he the one?
Yeah.
Right.
Now
right.
He can call it a Hospital 6, which I presume, which is interesting. I mean, I assume he – actually, I'm going to take that back. I shouldn't assume anything. They're saying he injured his thumb. He broke his thumb. And they say that it's 6 to 8 weeks to return to basketball activities. But if the Lakers plan on being in the finals,
yep,
then that's longer than 8 weeks. So does that mean that he has to stay in the bubble all that time?
I don't know. Wait, I'm trying to see if I can.
I guess he would have enough time to go to a hospital and then come back, you know, quarantine for 2 weeks in the bubble or something like that.
They lost Avery Bradley, too.
I know. So, no, I think this is significant. I think the cumulative effect of this stuff is significant. LeBron James, with all this rest, can now go pedal to the metal for the next 3 months and not pay the price that he has paid over the past trying to do that for a full season. And Anthony Davis, same thing. But their depth has severely been affected. Their defense and their distribution has now severely been affected. Avery Bradley was one of those players totally under the radar. He has been wherever he's been. He was that way when he was here in Detroit for a brief period of time. He is a coach's dream. He gets tough defensive assignments. He doesn't complain.
Yeah.
He's a smart player. He doesn't make dumb mistakes. And now Rajon Rondo, who after LeBron James is the best distributor on their team, let's face it, he gets the ball around to everybody, and he's really good in terms of assists in the playoffs. Now they don't have him. And there's a point at which, you know, you can replace with whoever's out there as much as you want. You can sign J.R. Smith to your roster. They're not the same. It's not player for player that you're getting back. J.R. Smith can't do anything, well, some things, but not much that Avery Bradley does. And Rajon Rondo, it's going to be tough to find somebody who can distribute like that with playoff experience. So I think that this affects them. I mean, there are some people who have kind of jumped off their bandwagon, did so when Bradley went down, and I think more will do so now.
Yeah, I knew that you'd appreciate the fact that the I don't know what kind of math they're doing at the Lakers, but J.R. Smith doesn't equal either one of those guys, and he certainly doesn't equal both of those guys. That this is a significant loss for the Lakers. I don't know. He's got to go off and have the surgery on the thumbnail. So when does he come back? That's actually
can
a very
return
good...
to full basketball activities in 6 to 8 weeks. 6 to 8 weeks would probably bring him back around the conference finals, as I understand this thing to go. Because didn't they say it's about 3 months, a little shy of 3 months if you go all the way through. And so I would imagine it would be right around the... But that's to start playing basketball again. That's not to be back in you know, full shape or full gear. And at that point, you can't do it in practices because they're going to be in some pretty tight playoff things. So whether he stays in the bubble or Motel 6, as he calls it, or not, this is a severe blow for the Lakers in their early rounds anyhow. And... you know, I don't know if I would. If you're not going to make them the favorites, then that means you like the Clippers, at least in the West. I can't see anybody choosing another team. But who knows, Mike? This whole thing, when guys haven't played ball in all this time, and everybody's healthy, and you're coming back with teams, and basically you're starting the season effectively with the playoffs. Teams get on rolls. Teams get on hot rolls.
Mitch,
and I wouldn't predict anything here.
No, you're 100% right. I'm writing a column for MLB today about some what I think are some fun questions about just the two New York baseball teams. Okay, and yeah, you'd look at the record off of last year and say, well, it's got to be the Yankees. They were 17 games better during the regular season, except. The last sampling we saw in a regular season was a 72-game season from which the Mets, who were 40-50, made a wild card run, Mitch, and finished up being 46-26. And that 46-26 was a game better than the 103-win Yankees over the same period. Now, obviously, the Yankees didn't have as much to play for. What I'm saying is small samplings can be crazy. And yeah, I mean, maybe Denver gets on a roll early. And the other thing we don't know, Mr. Album, is this: which team is going to handle the bubble and the time? I think this is significant. Away from the games, better in this short season in the NBA. You know what I'm saying? Which team's going to get cranky? Which team's not going to get cranky? Which team's chemistry is going to suffer because of this? And it will be, you know that a lot more guys privately are talking about Motel 6 than just Rajon Rondo. And to me, the unknowable thing here, forget about what it's going to be like playing in a gym like you're playing a Y League game, okay, is how this is going to affect the character of especially the teams that think they can win. Is that a crazy thought? I don't think it is.
No, it's not a crazy thought at all, Mike. I do think that living in unusual circumstances for protracted periods of time wears on you. Players are creatures of habit. Most of these guys have been following some kind of a routine since they were in eighth grade. And now that routine, which they've gotten used to, is totally upended to the point that, for example, they've got to dress in their hotel rooms.
Right.
In full uniform and sweats. That's going to take away a lot
no
of the...
No more fashion statements, Mitch.
Yeah, no more fashion statements, which is what a lot of guys are into. A lot of the stuff tangential to the game, they love it. And being able to come out in the suits and press conferences and then watch themselves on SportsCenter and look at how I looked and read the tweets about themselves, and people are giving them thumbs up for how... All that stuff's gone. The fashion stuff's gone. The fandom is gone. The groupies are gone. The mass of people waiting for them at the hotels is gone. And Mike, this is not a slap at athletes, because, you know, there are parts of our job that we enjoy that don't have to do with sitting down and writing, you know, and it's part of what makes the environment. So it's not a slap. But when you take all that stuff away, there are a lot of guys for whom, you know, it's just not as much fun. And they're not as into it. And how does that translate when they get on the floor? Maybe they're just not as psyched up. Maybe certain players just want to pound their chest and get off on fans cheering for them, and they don't have that anymore. So not only do I not think that's not an unfair point to make that you made. I think it's a really good point. And we're not going to know until this thing starts playing out and until it starts really getting, you know, the first game, don't go by that. The first week, don't go by that.
Right.
Go when it starts. It's like a job. When you start a job, can you ever really say how it's going to go based on your first day or your first week? No. But there's a point after that first month where you have settled in and there's that voice inside you that says, you know what? This isn't as great as I thought it was going to be. Well, that could very well happen with this whole situation here. And kudos to Jay Williams for already calling out some NBA players who have started complaining, Joel Embiid and Rondo and other ones about, oh, look at these conditions and look at the food that I got here, whatever. First of all, you got a nation that's got, you know, 20% unemployment and
exactly.
people wandering around with masks and they don't get to go on airplanes and they don't get to go anywhere. And so just be quiet. Do not, you know, if you don't like it, please keep it to yourself, because that's about the worst thing that these guys could do. But it reflects, Mike, what you're talking about privately.
Mitch, you just hit it. You took the words right out of my mouth. It was the extension of this conversation. This is not the time in this country to bitch about creature comforts. You cannot do it. You especially if you have a job, you cannot do it. Okay. I mean, I was talking to Dave Roberts of the Dodgers. Brian Cashman, a general manager of the Yankees. And he said to me the other day, Mitch, is this going to be difficult? Is this going to be different? But he said, we all have to keep in mind that we are still going to work every day doing jobs that we only dreamed about when we were younger. Okay. Right. And jobs that we love. At a time of massive unemployment and hardship in this country. So nobody cares, Rajan or anybody. I forget, there was a Disney hotel that he's staying at that somehow I missed in my children's growing up years, okay? But I've just, nobody cares whether you like the Wilderness Lodge or not, okay? And nobody cares whether you like the Grand Floridian or not. I'm not going to list them all, I promise. But to bitch about this would be a level of tone deafness, okay, that will parallel anything we have seen in our sports writing careers.
Right. And these guys, it's a cautionary tale for these guys. Watch their tweets. Watch their Instagrams, because they're going to get very bored without fans, without family, without groupies, without any of that stuff. And there's going to be a tendency to basically try to live in the outside world through social media. As soon as the game is over and you try to comment, and social media can get you in a lot of trouble one way or another. In fact, we're going to talk about that a little bit more. First, this word from our friends at Harry's. Just how much money could you save in 1 year by switching to Harry's? And believe it or not, enough for 3 deep dish pizza dinners in Chicago. Or if you're into caffeine, enough to buy 26 cups of coffee in New York City. Or if you're a home buddy, 6 months of Netflix. That's right. At as low as $2 a blade, the savings you get with Harry's really adds up. But only you know you're paying less. Your face won't know the difference. I got my first Harry's kit months and months ago. And I was cynical. I said, well, a razor's a razor. What's the difference? I have to tell you, it was the closest shave I've ever had, and I've been using their blades ever since. It's close. The handle is, it just feels more sturdy than a lot of those disposable things that you pick up. The shave gel that they give you smells really good. I can't say enough about the shaving experience. The fact that you save money is a bonus. I actually thought I was going to lose money and say, well, I'll pay more for it. It works the opposite direction. And you can get a Harry's trial set right now by going to harrys.com/reporters. harrys.com/reporters. If you love it, you can get refills delivered to your doorstep on your schedule with or without a subscription. This saves you the trip to the drugstore, which nobody wants to make now during COVID-19 anyhow. Listeners of our show, by the way, can redeem their Harry's trial set at harrys.com/reporters, and you'll get a weighted ergonomic handle for firm grip, a 5-blade razor with lubricating strip and trimmer blade, rich lathering shave gel with aloe to keep your skin nice and hydrated, and a travel blade cover to keep your razor dry and easy to grab on the go. Go to harrys.com/reporters to start shaving and saving today. Mike, we talked about DeSean Jackson and the posts that he sent out last weekend, not this past weekend, but the weekend before, citing what he thought was a quote from Adolf Hitler, which demeaned the Jews in multiple and familiar old trope ways, and then put out several Louis Farrakhan praises along the way until people started catching on that these were out there and reacted to them as the anti-Semitic posts that they were. And then we talked about this on the last show, that the amount of noise that you heard from the rest of the sports world was deafening in its silence. Didn't see a single LeBron James conscience of sports a tweet about anti-Semitic posts, nothing. There were a handful of players, notably a couple of African-American players, and kudos to them, but more Jewish players like Julian Edelman and others who kind of reached out. But total was minute. And meanwhile, all this time, day after day, even as he's getting supported by guys like Malik Jackson and Steven Jackson, the basketball player, and Malcolm Jenkins, the football player, his team isn't punishing him. They issued a statement that said this was appalling and offensive, but then didn't punish him. Not one day, not 2 days, not 3 days before. Finally, a Friday, at the end of the news cycle, and Mike, you and I know, when people do stuff late Friday afternoon, they're hoping that it doesn't get a lot of attention.
Roger Stone, hello.
Yeah. They came out and said, all right, we've decided to penalize DeSean Jackson for his comments. The penalty is an undisclosed fine.
Yeah, we don't know.
Undisclosed fine. Not a game off, not firing, not anything that has happened to people who have put out tweets far less offensive than that. An undisclosed fine.
Mitch, let me interrupt you for 1 second, because Mitch wrote an extremely powerful column. He hasn't talked about it yet. I'm going to talk about it. He was trending for a great part of yesterday for a column he wrote in Sunday's Detroit Free Press. I'm going to just read a little bit of it, okay? Because Mitch said to me before we started today, it got as much attention as any column he's written in a long time. Anti-Semitism is the oldest form of bigotry in the world. It dates back to biblical times and has never had a pause. Ancient Jews were hated for sticking to their faith and not bowing to whatever idols were being worshipped. I'm skipping ahead here. Dehumanization, Jews know all about it. They were forbidden to intermarry, forbidden from holding government jobs, accused of having hidden horns and tails. They were raped and massacred throughout the crusade. Superstitions about Jews, spoken and written, claim they wanted to drink Christian blood, on and on and on. And lest this be dismissed as ancient history, it was less than 85 years ago that Jews were rounded up all throughout Europe and systematically exterminated in Nazi death camps. So the larger point that Mitch is making is he's not diminishing the black experience or social justice, but guess who's been experienced it the longest? Jews have. That is why what Jackson did, no matter how much he walks it back, no matter how many Holocaust survivors he talks to, no matter how much damage control he does, the idea that he got a slap on the wrist for this, to me, is shameful.
It is shameful. It's not a... I wrote in that column that I didn't feel that he needed to lose his job, even though others have lost their jobs for less, because all that does is perpetuate this notion right. that when you make a mistake, you got to lose your entire career. And I don't advocate that. So why would I advocate that for DeSean? But an undisclosed fine, which is meaningless, let's face it, meaningless in terms of punishment to a ball player. And, you know, the absence from a game, I always say, is more significant because they have to continue to talk about why the guy isn't there. And so it's more of a punishment, because if DeSean Jackson missed a game, people would have to say, and announcers would have to say, well, DeSean Jackson not playing today because of those anti-Semitic posts that he does. So it lives a little longer. When you fine a guy, first of all, nobody even knows how much it could be a dollar. It could be $10. It could be $10,000. Whatever it is, it's not going to matter to DeSean Jackson at all. And just so you know how apologetic he truly was, he ended up liking a tweet from a controversial social media commentator who posted, I look forward to the day when black men don't have to apologize. As if being black somehow has anything to do with making anti-Semitic statements and somehow you're not responsible for them because you're African-American. Are you kidding me? And what I wrote in there, one of the lines you didn't quote, but thank you for reading all of that, was hate is hate. And you can't separate one hate from another hate any more than you can separate a breeze from the wind. It's all part of the same thing. So when Malcolm Jenkins, who really infuriated me in a certain way, worse than even DeSean Jackson or Steven Jackson's comments, because he dismissed them as saying, this is taking away, this is a distraction. We don't have problems. Jews aren't our problem, and we're not their problem. Let's stay focused. Uh-uh.
No.
This isn't a singular issue. Hate is hate. And intolerance is intolerance. And repeating tired, old, prejudiced, bigoted rhetoric is repeating rhetoric. It doesn't matter who the target is. When you say, let's just stay focused on the cause, that diminishes anti-Semitism to a second-class hatred, not as important as racism. That's not true. It never was true, and it's never going to be true.
Never going to be true. It's and again, Mitch, when did we reach the point where, in sports or anywhere else, when a celebrity in trouble thinks that an apology somehow gives him diplomatic immunity? I apologized. Everybody move on. Nothing to see here. Not in this case. And whether you give him every benefit of the doubt on dopey things he retweets, okay, at some point he has read the thing that he's retweeting, okay? And even knowing the consequences of doing that in the modern world, he goes ahead and does it anyway. So he can say, I don't think those things. I'm not sure he doesn't think those things, Mitch. Or maybe he doesn't think at all. But the idea that this is old news at this point in the game tells you a lot about how we go on from one wildfire to the next in the modern world.
Yeah. And the NFL, by the way, outside of, you know, issuing a verbal barely touch on the wrist, didn't do any kind of punishment of its own either. And I mentioned this in the column. Sadly, Jewish people are just used to this because it is the oldest form of right. hatred in the world. And it never, sadly, gets the same type of shelf life or fury or outrage as other forms of racism and bigotry do. So I wrote the column. I didn't think it was going to get that kind of attention. But I'm glad that it did in terms of, you know, there were a lot of positive. And by the way, I want to say a ton of African-American, not just readers, but also notable people in the community and in the media who came out and said, you need to read this.
But before we get to a more pleasant, actually kind of funny story, one more word from our friends at Geico. Did you know that right now, Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's 15% on top of the money Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Your dog to make you breakfast in bed with Belgian waffles and fresh fruit compote? As nice as that sounds, that's probably never going to happen. But at least there's never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Visit geico.com to learn more. Mitch, you're not the golf guy I am, but all the other sports that are coming back, Mr. Alvin, we talked about this. They should hope that they get the startup that golf has had. Yesterday, they got a fabulous three-hole playoff. Justin Thomas, one of the best players of the world, blew a three-shot lead. Colin Morikawa, who has now won more tournaments at the age of 23 than he's missed cuts in his professional career. He was up three early. It was great. And Mitch, I'm sure you watched it, except no. You couldn't watch it because they started early because of a bad forecast in Ohio. It was on CBSSports.com. It ended about the time that CBS showed it on tape at 3 o'clock, and I'm not going to wear you out. Yes, the contract said this, the contract said that, and what they lost out on live was the best finish they've had yet out of some tremendous finishes. And sometimes it just shows you that even smart people don't step back and say, I understand what the but I know what the letter of the law is, but the spirit of the law is we have something great happening here and we ought to show it to people.
Is there any measurement, Mike, of how golf is being received?
I think the ratings are really good.
It's some of the best golf. It's not even the Masters or anything, you know, significant like that in terms of history, but just the way it's being played at such a high level for such an absence. I don't know if it's just because we haven't had sports in so long that we were appreciating it more, but I'd love to see if there's some kind of measurement of ratings or attention or clicks or whatever that show that golf is surging into popularity when it's the only sport that's out there.
I'll just tell people who didn't see. And by the way, people watched it on tape and were happy that they did, and they somehow managed not to find out. So Justin Thomas, Justin Thomas starts the day with the lead. Okay, he falls back. Murakawa takes the lead. Justin Thomas starts making everything. He's three up with three to play. He bogeys two out of the last three. Murakawa makes a couple of birdies. Boom, they go to the playoff. On the first playoff hole, Mitch, Murakawa hits first. He's like 25 feet from the pin. Justin Thomas is 50 feet away. It's like a theme park ride down to the hole. He makes it. He makes it, he yells, yeah, and he thinks he's won the tournament, except Murakawa then makes a 25-footer on top of that. They keep playing. Thomas finally hits a drive behind a tree. It was fabulous, but the best thing is, Mitch, it was young guys. To be riveting and fun and dramatic and compelling. Tiger's coming back for Jack's tournament this week on the same course. It's an anomaly that they're playing on the same course 2 weeks in a row. It was great, and the only shame is that if you weren't watching on your computer, you didn't watch it live yesterday. Yeah.
Well, it also goes to show you, Mike, as we wrap things up here, baseball should have been doing this. We talked about this a long time ago. Baseball, if it hadn't jerked around for so much time, over 60 games, 70 games, 62 games, 78, would have been playing and would have been able to command the American, certainly, attention span in sports the way that golf, which is not anywhere near as big a sport, is doing, because it's all by itself there. Baseball should have been first back. And instead, they're just now sort of getting it in, and they're still... And there's so many doubts about the whole testing program and the way they're approaching this thing. And you now see Adonis Chapman out for the Yankees, fans are probably starting to feel in your city, Mike, like, oh, please, we did this last year.
We did it with injuries last year.
Are we going to do this with coronavirus? Because you've already lost, who was the other guy that, Mayhew, got knocked out already by
DJ
coronavirus?
DJ LeMahieu, yep.
And who knows how much longer. But again, folks, with teams and players going home, you can have empty stadiums and you can have social distancing, but as long as you leave the park and go back home and you don't know what the players are doing at home or who they're hanging out with or who they're running into, you're going to have more and more guys coming in. And, you know, when Rudy Gobert showed up with COVID-19, the two teams that were involved were immediately basically quarantined and they shut the whole league down. Now we've gotten to the point where in baseball, a guy shows up with COVID-19 and you just bench him. Okay, well, we won't have him for a while. Well, how do you know who he's already infected in the days before? You know, so it's just, I still have my doubts about any of this working.
Well, listen, we're 10 days out from the start of the baseball season, Mitch. I'll believe it when I see it. Even 10 days is a lifetime. By the way, the Colonial ratings, when they came back, they were up like 50%. And the Rocket Mortgage Classic up 56% on CBS. So, yes, golf ratings are exploding.
Yeah. All right, a lot will happen, I'm sure, between now and Thursday, because it just always does. We do this show on Mondays and Thursdays, and you can hear it on Stitcher and Apple and Spotify and Pandora and any of the popular podcast platforms. You can leave us a comment or a rating. We always appreciate those and thank you for them. Hopefully, Bob Ryan back with us on Thursday. Until then, on behalf of Mike Lupica, this is Mitch Albom saying have a great week.